You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I also was very fortunate enough to have the chance to talk with Miriam herself and ask her why the North Shore should become its own country.
Well, it's an independent city-state, so that is a structure that allows a second legal jurisdiction. So it just enables a few things. Like, I guess I would probably focus on the human rights aspect it offers first, which is the fact that one of our most basic human rights that is being undervalued or forgotten or just ignored is the right to recreate our cities ourselves. So recreate the way we live and the identities and the rules and the systems around our cities. And that's been absolutely lost, you know. And definitely through Auckland Council right now, we're in a situation where plans are forced upon us, predetermined plans that are clearly evidenced to have been designed with property developers, investors, and then they sort of disingenuous consultation processes, and the changes are forced against the will of the community.
And so you think the North Shore's missing out on these things?
Well, the situation is that because I ran for MP on the North Shore last year, I identified that this was happening on specific properties of the North Shore and in specific ways. So I guess, you know, I'm located there, so it makes sense that it is there. But, I mean, I also have a vision for the North Shore of the incredible opportunities it could have if the community started looking forward itself as to how it wanted to create its identity and, you know, build its economy in the future. I guess the key is also that I believe that we need monetary reform. I think the Reserve Bank Act focuses monetary policy only on balancing prices. And I think that grossly limits the purpose of money, and that is that it should be extended to meet the public needs and adequate levels to meet the public needs. So, you know, we have infrastructure needs, we have housing, social housing needs. We have,
but isn't the North Shore
funded? And if the monetary supply was extended at adequate levels, then those human needs would be met by the monetary supply. Instead of right now, they're just focused on balancing prices, and that is going to be impossible under a Labor government who keep putting up taxes on all the key commodities like fuel and agriculture.
But isn't the North Shore better off than so many other communities? Why do you think the North Shore's being left behind? I mean, in the latest council budget, there is still a lot of investment going into the North Shore.
Okay, so I definitely haven't said the North Shore's been left behind, and that's a disproportionate statement. You and I both know that there's other areas of Auckland that are predominantly populations who are really in need. But this is a situation where the North Shore has a really interesting mix, and don't be misled by the stereotypes of the North Shore. At the end of the day, there are a lot of elderly on the North Shore who have had amazing careers. They're accomplished people, but they're living with pensions that barely afford them to afford to eat. They can't afford their phone bill. They can't afford their heating bill. They're in the same situation as most other pensioners in the country, and there's a lot of them in the North Shore. You've got, you've definitely got successful people who bought a beach house, you know, that's sure. You've also got hard-working, everyday people. You know, there's an agency on the North Shore that records how many people are in need of emergency housing right now that's affordable in that area. There's 137 families registered who have work in the area, or the children go to school in the area, and there's nowhere for them to live. So they're living 2 hours drive away from where they need to be. Now, there's public land right now that could be built to the sky with apartment blocks that could provide social housing for those people at rent-controlled levels, at price-controlled levels, so they could afford to buy their first home.
So would you say that there's a movement for this? Would you say that there is a movement for this? I mean, you've got to get 400,000 people for your petition. Do you actually think that's achievable?
Yeah, I absolutely do. There's enough people, there's 400,000 people in New Zealand to understand that the monetary supply has been managed wrong, that it's sufficient to only manage money in order to balance prices, and that is simply not going to be possible under a high-tech government. So most people understand that to balance the monetary supply, the purpose of money in the best economies in the world, in the most prosperous economies in the world, is aspirational levels of public spending and low tax.
Right, so the government, you particularly think this is necessary under the current Labor government?
You know, I definitely definitely, I disagree with both National and Labor economics, and I actually don't differentiate them as separate parties. I think they're effectively the same. They run an austerity economy that limits public spending to tax, and it's not necessary to limit public spending to tax. They're the sole issuer of the NZD, and we're in shortage of money supply right now. So should they decide to act responsibly and run an economy correctly, they would extend the money supply right now. So you have to ask, why are they not? Because the outcome of them not extending the money supply are narratives like needing to privatise all the public land and divest all the public services that provide quality of life for the people. You know, it provides them a crisis narrative to tell you that we can't afford to pay for house for the next 10 years, so we need to privatise your health system. Now, if they extend adequate levels of money supply, the nurses are all on double the price tomorrow, and double their pay rates tomorrow. You know, their hospitals are well funded. All the children are not being denied of their medicines, as a lot of kids are right now. And that is totally possible. A one decision, that's a decision tomorrow to extend the money supply to adequate levels as it should be operating in this country.
Is this a publicity stunt in any way? Would you say that this is a publicity stunt anyway? I mean, it's getting you a lot of attention. Is that part of why you're doing it, to try and put your own opinions out there?
Yeah, look, attention's not something I seek. Since, you know, in my early 20s, I started getting harassed by TVNZ, so that's not really my motivation. I think you can see that if you look at my work. So I've represented Indigenous leaders to the UN and fought their mass industrial destruction of their environment. I've got an International Criminal Court climate change argument that is against the carbon fraud, but against climate change. You know, there's a real cognitive dissonance going on in a lot of these issues. So my only hope, this is not a publicity stunt. This is going to connect with every single person in New Zealand who knows that we need monetary reform if we want a prosperous, independent, sovereign country, and we don't want to be forced into a homogenised plan being infiltrated down through politicians who were recently profiled in the paper by the intelligence agency in the US as taking Chinese bribes. Now, you know, there is something not quite right in our political elite, and the changes that they're making to our city are not in the public interest, and the public need to reconcile that and start looking at their ways to protect themselves and protect their assets. So an independent city-state gives them the opportunity to, you know, it's very formal. There's a judicial direction requested from the High Court as to what they consider to be the best of four legal ways to offer alternative sustainable financing for the city. So we wait for their direction. There is, the Governor General has been requested to approve a question about, you know, can we create the second jurisdiction and demonstrate a model of sustainable monetary finance that has human values and animal values, or, you know, basic life values as the premise for running that money supply, instead of an austerity economy that both National and Labor have run.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate speaking to you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.